Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo is back next week, and Dylan is behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. In just a moment, Michael Penix is about to be graded for his first quarter performance this season. But want to get you caught up on all the headlines before you get into work today. Thursday night football was close despite their injuries. 49ers won 26-23 over the Rams in overtime. We'll dive deeper into that when we go in the huddle at 7:20. The MLB wildcard series, that's over. Moving on, we've got Detroit taking on Seattle, Yankees taking on the Blue Jays. Dodgers will face the Phillies, and the Cubs will take on the Brewers. The Jaguars' Trayvon Walker has had wrist surgery but could play Monday night against the Chiefs. And Brian Snicker probably had the most texts and calls in the city of Atlanta this week. People wanting to talk to him. Well, he got back to the steakhouse, and he's going to join them at 10 a.m. today, so don't miss that. But speaking of Snit, his job is open. Ken Rosenthal spoke with David Ross recently, said he's eager to get back to managing. It's an itch that hasn't gone away.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting sort of interview that Ken Rosenthal did. Obviously, there on The Athletic, if you've got The Athletic, make sure you go check that out, because it kind of dives into David Ross being fired from the Cubs and how Jed Hoyer, the Cubs GM and president, was like in Tallahassee waiting outside David Ross's house for him to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And how that, you know, David finally answered the phone. He's like breaking down film, trying to find like he's trying to like round out his coaching staff for the next year. And Jed Hoyer is like, "Hey, man, are you at home?" And David was like, "Yes, I am." And he's like, "Okay, good. I'm outside of your front door." And David's like, "I am getting fired." And the dynamic between David Ross and the Cubs and David Ross and Craig Counsell and everything else that went on with that situation. But look, David Ross is a Georgia native. He played for the Braves. He played in the South, obviously. He played at Auburn for a little bit. And he's just one of those guys that I think throughout your career you always looked at and you're like, man, he's going to be a great manager. And here we are. And a lot of I don't know, maybe I just feel a lot of that way about a lot of catchers. But we're here with this opportunity that he seemingly fits. Now, was his time with the Cubs great? No, but he was in a rebuilding tenure with the Cubs. And mm-hmm. I think he learned a lot from that experience. I know Braves fans, and we had this conversation yesterday, really want somebody that knows what they're doing to step into this role. No, like, first-time guesses. Like, you need to knock this out of the park because you have a roster that you think can make a postseason run. I think I would be on board with David Ross. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he, you know, it's not that this just slam-dunk candidate anywhere else. I just think he fits this organization, this franchise. You know, Ken Rosenthal has mentioned, and he talked through some of these names, that Mark DeRosa is out there. We talked about him. Ryan Flaherty, who's currently the Cubs bench coach, former Marlins manager Skip Schumacher, who we brought up yesterday. There's names floating out there. Grant yesterday said Walt Weiss, mm-hmm. the current bench coach for the Atlanta Braves. So we'll see what happens. The timeline, like Grant talked about yesterday, still remains unclear. But I thought it was really interesting that Ken Rosenthal said David Ross went out of his way to say, yeah, be a great spot.
Right.
I love that opportunity. Goes back to what I said yesterday. I think just about any manager in baseball would love that opportunity because this is not a rebuild. This is a team that is ready to go right now.
Yeah, this has to be the most attractive job in baseball if I had to guess. So I would love David Ross too. Obviously used to had a bit of time here and I think would be a great locker room vibe and would fit the timeline of the Braves. He isn't obviously a super young manager. He's seasoned, had time with the Cubs like Mike talked about a few moments ago, but experienced enough to where he would definitely have the respect of all those guys in that clubhouse and has that experience, I think, enough, like Mike said, to where he could be a part and help this team and make all the right decisions to help this team win now and get back to where we want to get back to, which is winning World Series.
Yeah, and I know the timeline is uncertain, but I definitely want this decision to be made sooner rather than later, so that in the offseason we can handle what we need to handle.
Yeah, it has that feel of like, you know, coaching hires in football where it's like you're waiting until after the, you know, college football playoff or the NFL playoffs or whatever it may be. But I don't think that this is a situation where they're waiting until after the World Series.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't feel like that. So, and there's, you know, the candidates are a lot more broad in baseball coaching circles. It's almost like when you're hiring a soccer coach, like Atlanta United's like, dude, it could be anybody in the world. You know, you feel like when they're hiring a soccer coach, like, you're not just looking at these small coaching circles. Like, this could be anybody in the world. So we'll see what happens. But I'm with you. I don't foresee them doing that. I think the longer it lingers, though, the more it does make me wonder if they're looking at somebody that's involved in the playoffs right now. You know,
so interesting.
I'll be curious to see how that rolls, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said yesterday, our anniversary is coming up, so I expect the news to drop on that day, because Braves love to drop news on special
that time
days.
Around again, like 5:30, 6 o'clock, somewhere in between dinner time.
Alex,
right as they're getting seated.
Yeah.
All right. So regarding the Falcons, they are in a bye week. So we've been giving them grades all week long, basically, on how the first four games of the season, the first quarter of the season, has been going. It's 2-2 for the season so far. We're coming off a big win off the Commanders. We have Buffalo coming to town next week. We got to grade Michael Penix, quarterbacks. So, Dylan.
Yeah. I just wrote my grade down because I wanted to write mine down before Dylan said it, just so I was proving to you I didn't have the same thing.
Okay.
I just wrote it down. I'm going to put it face down.
B+. I'm going B+ because that Panthers game was so bad to me, I can't put him in the A category. Like, that's just been a tough game. And then, again, he did have – even though he played, I think, phenomenal, all things considered, against the Commanders, he did have that one bad interception that was a bad read. But, look, that's going to happen. That's just the way of the quarterback, and that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Otherwise, though, talking about the good that he's done, again, you know that Carolina game was a wash and just a bad day of the office, and we just chalk it up to that. I do take a letter grade down for that, though. But other than that, I mean, he's done everything you wanted him to do. He has been and I hate to use this term, but I'm using it just to make my point. He has managed the game well. I won't say game manager, but he has managed the game well to where he hasn't been the reason really you've lost any games. Matter of fact, he was the reason you were in position to win that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The great wherewithal of keeping his knees off the ground and extended just enough to tie the game up. So he's come up clutch in those situations. Did well in Minnesota, even though they had their own red zone issues, but played very well in Minnesota, I thought, as well, too. And then we just talked about the Commanders game, and then obviously we know what happened against the Panthers, but hasn't really been the reason you've lost any – hasn't been the sole reason you've lost any games, like, you know, unfortunately Kirk Cousins was last year for some games, but has done a good job just doing what he's been asked to do in this offense. And, you know, we know there have been some issues with Zach Robinson, but – I just like the way he has handled himself, and his pocket presence has been good. I know, again, the Carolina game was its own thing where the feet and the footwork and the mechanics were not good, but he did a good job bouncing back from that, but has made good decisions, has gotten the ball out quick, has also, we talked about the O-line being we give them a B, and he's done a good job at times buying extra time for the O-line, using his legs at times as well, too. Getting it out quick, so he's done all the things you want a franchise quarterback to be able to do. Process information well, make good decisions, take care of the football, take his opportunity, use his legs when he needs to, and make those big throws. And we know he's got the big arm. He made a couple of very good throws down the field last week. A couple of one fell incomplete, but that one just dot to Drake London was an absolute dime. So all in all, I feel really good about Michael Penix, and I feel good landing that B+.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him.
behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B plus is high.
Really?
B plus is high.
What do you have?
I got C plus written down.
Wow. So I was wondering if a grade would come down a little bit just because the Carolina game could wreck that average.
I think that we both look at the Carolina game the same, where he said it's worth a letter grade. But I think I was at B plus after thinking about the Minnesota game.
Oh, okay.
And I think when I went to the Carolina game, then I came to C plus. I think that, and you said he's not the sole reason that you lost against Carolina. Think he was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating watching his footwork. And it all comes down to expectations, right? This is what we've been talking about this throughout the last couple of days when you are grading the Atlanta Falcons. It's all about expectations. I think that Michael Penix has been a victim of his own success much in that way, where you just feel like he's rising to the occasion and he's played with consistency. His accuracy has been great. And then all of a sudden, it just wasn't. And it kind of, if you go back and watch the Minnesota game, there were inklings of it. I mean, his yards passing against Minnesota is 135. Like, you look at some of the red zone issues, and we talked about some of the throws to Ray. There was some other miscues in there that I think some of them were obviously on the, you know, the passing targets. But I think I just expect so much more out of Michael Penix that when you look at the Carolina game, you're like, what in God's name? Like, I feel like when his career is over and that if that film comes on, you're going to be like, who was that?
Yeah.
Because it was just so out of character. I think that, and I know where Dylan's going with the B plus because I think he has played extremely well when you go back and look at, you know, week one against Tampa and you look at the Commanders, but he was not good against Minnesota and he was downright awful against Carolina. So I have to kind of hold him to task for that. I went C plus. It's not, you know, as bad as the wide receivers, but I think both of them kind of go hand in hand. Okay, the wide receiver's a D. I was like, dude, This has been bad. You know, thank God that Bijan is so good out of the backfield catching the ball and that Kyle Pitts has stepped up. I think those two guys are the reason that I move him up to a C-plus from that category. And you're right. I thought it was a good point you just made about how he's scrambling against Minnesota and is able to show body control, you know, a couple of different things. Obviously against Tampa as well, where he's able to do different stuff at the end of the game. He has been a lot better in the pocket than I imagined it. But I just think that he's a victim of his own success that we saw at the end of last year and a couple of times this year where I just expect more. And you have these games that you just fall off. I'm like, who was that? And so I think that consistency will allow this grade to continue to climb, but I'm at C-plus right now. I have to be blunt about it in my assessment. And I think the defense, we gave all these shining grades to the defense, gave a decent grade to the offensive line. They can be better as well. The receivers have been poor, and Michael Penix has been a part of that with the passing game. So I don't put it all on the actual players, but we're grading the players. So I have to continue to go back. Ike Hilliard's gone. Zach Robinson, I've not been a massive fan of. TJ Yates is now the wide receiver coach. The passing game coordinator things moved around. Zach Robinson, it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows for Michael Penix this year. So I sit at the C-plus. I understand where Dylan's coming from. I'm just going to be a little more harsh with the expectations because I think he's earned that. I think he's earned the ability to have harsh grades because he is so good at times.
Well, and like you mentioned yesterday, these are first quarter reports, right? So room for improvement, time to improve, and a lot of corrections have been made since that Carolina game. We are going to have grades for running backs going on at 8:40 today, but if you want to get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause, you can join Sports Radio 92.9, the game's third annual Browngrass Charity Golf Classic. It's presented by Finley Roofing. It's coming up on Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is the chance to sign up. You can go to 929thegame.com, click the events link, but do it now because foursomes are going very quickly. It's the third annual Browngrass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets, November 24th. Coming up, we are going to look around the NFL, talk more about last night's game on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.